Good morning.
How are we this morning?
Not too badly. How's yourself?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Hey, so you're joining me in the studio this morning to talk about cooking on a budget?
Basically, it's about making the most of what you've got, what you can afford, and just making it tasty and spreading it. I'm not supposed to say this, really, I suppose, but people probably eat too much meat. You can get two meals out of that one steak if you did it a little bit different, sort of thing. And it's vegetables, pulses will extend the meat. A lot of kids don't like vegetables. And the biggest thing is probably most of the kids haven't actually eaten the vegetables. They just say, I don't like that. But if you can sneak something in there and not actually tell them.
Have you got any ideas of how to sneak them in there, sneak those veggies in?
Well, something simple like a cottage pie. Feed maybe 8 people with 400 or 500 grams of mint, which probably doesn't sound a lot, but if you put some pumpkin in there, a can of tomatoes, use a whole onion instead of half an onion, and just let it cook down, the pumpkin will fall and absorb the meat flavour, and nobody will know
that they're even eating it.
And you might even have 2 portions left to put in the freezer if you just want a meal for yourself, or, you know, it's a skill that's, I feel, that's been lost.
You mentioned to me before that the gap between knowing and understanding food. I quite liked that. Like, if you didn't know, go and ask your granny. Can you do that?
Well, in the good old days, they didn't have a great deal to work with, but they could make, you know, things last.
Yeah.
And
taste good.
Sadly, people seem to have more choices now. It's very convenient, and I find a lot of people will eat something and say, ooh, it doesn't taste right. What they've got now is this idea of it should be full of salt, full of sugar, and artificial sort of enhancers. So when you give them an actual proper hamburger, it doesn't taste like McDonald's.
Yeah.
So that is not good. Whereas, why would you eat a McDonald's hamburger? I mean, they're vile. I mean, the only good thing is you can eat one anywhere in the world and just be disappointed wherever you are, you know? Yeah. So there is a process of probably getting people back to actually tasting the food as it is.
As it is, and more fresh food. I like that thing, like when we were talking before about the gap between knowing and understanding and asking your granny, you were saying to me, you know, a lot of people will buy that box or that packaged kind of meal that feeds like 4 people, but they actually have no understanding on how much produce or meat to buy to actually make that meal from scratch, or even what flavours that it takes or herbs to recreate that meal, and, you know, so that they're not buying it in a box, because you're saying it can actually be cheaper and you can actually feed a lot more, you know, spread it out a bit more.
Well, it's like if you get a big pot and put a whole chicken in it and a ham hock and some vegetables.
Yeah.
At least 3 meals there, plus stock. And you can use that stock to make a sauce, use it to cook rice or, you know, risotto, a bulk filler, and just a little bit of chicken on it. Because you've got the stock, you've got the chicken flavour, even though there isn't a huge amount of chicken in there.
Yeah.
So one pot can actually make 3 meals.
And what would be a good recipe for a good stock recipe? How would people go about making their own stock to put in the freezer?
With beef stock, maybe lamb, veal, a lot of people want bones with lots of meat on. And if you're making stock, meat is not the best thing. Mm. When you make your stock, you need the bone, the marrow, yeah, the cartilage, the sinew. That's where all the flavour is. And with beef stock, you know, you've got to brown your bones, stick them in the oven, roast them, get them...
draw that flavour
really
out.
Really browned off, and you get all that flavour out of it.
Mm.
And then you make your stock.
And then you boil it in a pot after, so you roast all those bones and burst.
Yeah.
And
put your vegetables in with the bones and tomato puree. Brown them off. Really, really brown. I don't mean burn them, but, you know, really brown them.
Yeah.
And then just put them in a pot and just let it tick over. A lot of people are worried about the fat. Well, fat is flavour, but fat will come to the top of the pot, and you just scoop it off if you don't want it. Same as roasting meats and things. Mm. People want the fat off it.
Mm.
And then they say, oh, well, it was a bit dry and tasteless. Mm. Well, the first thing you've done is take the fat off it.
Mm.
If you don't want to eat the fat, it's obviously a bit of a no-no these days, but if you don't want the fat, cook it with the fat on and then take it off afterwards, because that's a heap of flavour in the fat, and it keeps the meat moist. Starting off with a dry piece of meat with no fat on.
Yeah.
It's
not terribly
You're looking for trouble, basically. It's a waste of meat, basically. I mean, it's an expensive commodity.
Yeah.
And if you don't deal with it with the sort of respect, you know, just love it, and you'll get more pleasure out of it.
Hey, so what, at the moment, what would be a good amount, and what kind of meat, what kind of cut would you get from the butchers at the moment if you wanted to cook a meal for your family, and kind of if you were working on with a budget?
I would go for something like a piece of beef or lamb, maybe, as a roast. Traditionally, cottage pie, shepherd's pie, was made from the leftovers from the Sunday lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a cooked meat. If you do that sort of thing, again, like I was saying, with putting pumpkin and stuff in, you can extend that. And also, you've got a good stock. If you're doing a roast lamb, the shank end will be roasted. Put that in a pot, barley, and make a scotch broth. A nice, big, hearty soup and some bread.
So basically, you could get yourself some beef for roasting and actually make three meals out of it. So you have your roast dinner, you have your leftover meat for the next day to make a cottage pie, then you take the bone and you add your veggies and your tomato paste and whatever, and boil it up. And then you've got a stock, so you can put that into your plastic container to wake it in the freezer.
I mean, obviously, you've got cold meat, so you've got sandwiches, salad, whatever, the next day.
Yeah.
Vegetables are generally cheaper than meat. So if you can increase the amount of vegetables, but with flavour, and you've got your meat, it's a bit weird. But I don't actually eat huge amounts of meat, maybe because I see it every day and it's not appealing.
It doesn't appeal to you.
But once you've got the bones to make that stock, you can do your lentils, rices, so it tastes of the meat. It's not just a bland side dish. You know, it's part and parcel.
Here's another little question for you. What herbs or spices or whatever would you put with, say, beef, for example?
Being very English, mustard and horseradish, just a roast beef. That's the way it goes.
And would you add any herbs to your stock?
Thyme. With the stock, you don't want it to be too over the top when you start.
Okay.
When you decide what you're going to do with it,
then
you can flavour it. But once you've got a
basic stock,
you can do whatever you need to do that. It freezes well.
How long does it last in the freezer?
12 months.
12 months.
Another tip would be to, when you make your stock, just keep reducing it down and skim it off, and then put it in ice cube tray and freeze it. and then put it in a bag, and you've got essentially a stock cube. But it's not full of salt and all the other bits and pieces that they put in.
That's fantastic. Hey, thanks, Steve. We'll catch Steve again, maybe next week, next time he's in.